All right, all you cats and dogs out there, this is Dishpan Hands on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm Sheila Q, your host, and this evening we have a very special interview that's taking place concerning autism and someone who is living their life with autism daily and with joy, and it's just a wonderful, fabulous story that inspires me greatly. On the phone with me now is Diana Gibbons, a former townshipper, who's going to share with us her experiences of living with autism. So hello, Diana.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
Pretty good.
I'm very excited, too. It's kind of strange to me that our relationship has been greatly and entirely actually over the internet, and now we finally get a chance to actually speak.
I know, it's great.
The
it's,
two powerhouses.
I find technology great in this way. It is an advancement in communication, and with someone with autism, any form is great.
Absolutely. All right, well, tell us about yourself. Tell us about your story, Diana.
Okay, well, I'll be 50 next week, and I don't know how that happened. I live in Kanata, Ontario, land of the Senators, but not a fan. Go Habs, go.
Oh, dude.
I'm originally from Sherbrooke. I'm 5 feet tall, but my friends tell me before them I stand 7 feet tall. People tremble before me. They know I'm fierce and will fight for my son's rights to the death, no matter what. They also know I'm equally soft-hearted and will be there for them in good times and bad. My life is great. I've got two beautiful children, Sarah and Chris. I'm married to a gorgeous man named Michael. I come from a big family, 5 sisters and 1 brother, and boy, sometimes we fight like cats and dogs. But when push comes to shove, we are always there for each other, and they've all been there for me. One of my best friends is my mom, Annie Forte, and if any of your listeners recognize this name, they should consider themselves lucky because they've been touched by an angel. My dad was Phyllis Annie Forte, also known as Bing. If you've been to the Georgian years ago, my dad was there. He died a long time before Chris was born, but I see Dad and Christopher every single day.
Oh, that's... There's this thing, this attachment, I think, with our children where we can't help but notice these little things. I know we lost my dad 16 years ago, and so he never got to meet any of his grandchildren, but I look at my son Leander and those are his eyebrows.
Oh yeah,
you know,
my son has the back of my father's neck and he walks with his toes out exactly like my father.
It's the funniest thing to see.
Yeah.
Them see those loved ones in our children.
Oh, for sure.
So tell us about Chris. Introduce us to Christopher.
Okay, well, he had a rough start. There's been many nicknames along the way to describe him. A fighter. He had to fight for his life at 11 days old. The king of the castle, because he rules this roost. The gentle giant, because he's the softest guy you want to meet. Guy Smiley, because he forever has a smile on that face. He's a beautiful young man with piercing blue eyes whose smile could melt anybody's heart. He's intelligent, he's affectionate, and innocent. One of the most beautiful things about him is his innocence. He loves walking in the woods. He loves going to see Grammy Annie in Sherbrooke. He loves bowling and yoga. He loves music. He loves Alanis, Andrea Bocelli, Pavarotti, Meatloaf, Elmo Palooza, Rod Stewart, Sheryl Crow, Edith Piaf, Charles Aznavour, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. He does have a talent for art, but unfortunately, he does not command perform.
You know, I think that's the thing about real talent, too, is that we only get to see these snippets of it.
That's,
you know?
Right. I
find that with my son Angus as well, that there are things that I know he's capable of doing, but prompting him to, or he's a little sneaky little devil that way too.
Or
it's kind of like he knows
for one person and not for another.
Exactly.
Christopher came home with a painting, an oil painting that he did at school, and it's based on an A.Y. Jackson, and it blew me away. And try to get him to do it here, you get stick man basically.
It's like that inspiration or interest is kind of captive, held captive by not being able to know or predict when it's going to happen.
That's
again.
That's right. That's what makes it interesting.
So what do you find the most frustrating about living with autism in your family?
I would say there's two things. The most frustrating thing that comes to mind is the preconceived notion that some people have that because Christopher is not as verbal as most people is that he isn't intelligent or doesn't comprehend what people are saying. The other frustrating part is the lack of empathy some people who are close to us have regarding autism. As we were talking about, with the internet available to most people, there's no reason to be ignorant regarding a disability that's within one's own family or friend group. Even after sending information to some people who are close to us, they will say they're too busy, they don't have time to read this information, and I just find it deplorable. If a person has cancer, people stop and take note. But because autism is not life-threatening, some people do not realize the depth of how it limits a family's life and how isolating it can be.
Oh, absolutely, and also the whole concept as well of, it's not that we don't accept and love our children, but there's also the aspect that the child we perhaps imagined, we have a whole very solitary sort of grieving process to go through as well. You know, it's a part of the acceptance, I think, too. So there's a lack of understanding when it comes to many, many facets of it.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I think sometimes when people have their own weaknesses and they see someone else who has weaknesses, they get frustrated by that because it makes them feel vulnerable.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Vulnerability is a huge issue.
Oh yeah.
We find with Angus that part of the whole idea of people limiting him because he's nonverbal at this point is kind of frustrating, because it doesn't mean that he isn't picking up on what's going on around him. And I have this feeling that one day, if he decides to, he'll be able to tell us all kinds of stories about things that were going on when people thought he didn't understand or,
well, and
you know.
Even if they don't get to the point, like Chris is 19, he doesn't have the communication to be able to tell long stories, but he can just say two words about something that's happened, and you think, oh dear, I knew exactly what was going on.
So what would you not be able to function without?
I thought about that. There's nothing I cannot function without. I learned a very long time ago to count on yourself in this life, and that's what I do. As long as I've got life in me, I will fight for Christopher's rights until my last dying breath. I'd prefer not to do it alone. My husband is my compass in life. He keeps me grounded. He loves Chris, he loves Sarah and me unconditionally. Life without him would be an uphill battle, but I would still never give up. On a side note, though, I must say, Holy Trinity Catholic High School here in Kanata, we love you. They have not just been educators to my son, they love him, and having him to go to school and knowing that as a mother is just a great, great feeling.
Oh my goodness, I absolutely agree. St. Francis Elementary School here in Richmond is where our angels exist, and I can't express how great it is to be able to drop him off to without worrying. I know that the people there love and care about him and are looking out for him and nurturing him, and when I go and pick him up at the end of the day, as much as maybe there will be a day that's been trickier or more difficult, more challenging, but there's always his best interests in mind. That's
and
huge.
And I think as a parent of someone who has autism or another special needs as well, you lose your cynicism because you meet so many people who want to help you in that journey to get that person to the best that they can be. And, you know, you go through life with your typical child, as I have with my daughter, everything's taken for granted. You know, the girl talked at 9 months old. She could say bus, dog, cat. And we just thought, hey, that's how it is for everybody.
Sure. When it was really quite a remarkable thing.
Mm-hmm,
so what have been some surprises along the way?
Well, nothing surprises me about Christopher, really. His intelligence, I tried to never, as you say, limit or think in those terms. I like to think outside the box. But the surprises, I would say, are the times that Chris comes to me unprompted and hugs me and says, I love you. An unprompted gesture from an individual with as high needs as Christopher come fleetingly. And I love those surprises. I treasure them. The first time Chris called me mummy, he was 6. I was standing in his elementary school library, and he came in with his class. He looked right over to me and gave me complete eye contact, which was huge at 6 years old. And he said, mummy. I waited so long to hear that, and I still feel the tingles run down my spine when I think of that today.
Oh, that is one of those moments that just, it's like the whole world sort of stops or...
That's right. It's and no just, matter or starts, what else happens, you can go to those moments in the darkest day and they just pick you right back up and make you just go a little stronger.
Absolutely. So what's Chris's relationship like with his sister, Sarah?
Sarah is extremely protective of Christopher. Christopher is constantly looking for her. She's 21 years old and is very independent, intelligent, and dynamic. She's never home, and he's always looking for her. It's quite comical. Chris will listen to Sarah. When Michael and I sometimes can't get Christopher to listen, we call in for Sarah reinforcement. She stands 5'4", he stands 6'1". But Sarah can lead him to do anything. But if she turns her back and leaves her bedroom door open, he's in there, and he'll snafu anything. What's Chris's is Chris's, and what's Sarah's is Chris's, too. And she's really tolerant of that. They don't have long talks, of course, that typical siblings would have. But they have a love that grows from deep within their souls. It's a really rich love. And sometimes in our home, the silence is deafening. Sometimes, though, that silence is when we get to know each other the best.
Oh, it's so true that it's like the spaces between that are so full of life and what's actually going on between us, I think.
And that's when you know you really love a person, when you don't need to fill it with constant conversation.
Absolutely. So what would you say are your dreams for Chris?
I'd say my dreams for Chris are the same as my dreams for Sarah. I want him to be happy in life, I want him to be healthy, and I want him to be loved and to be the best that he can be.
I think those are the perfect dreams for any parent
anybody.
To have. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Just having that sent out into the universe for you is, I think, the absolute best thing that anyone could experience in life.
Exactly.
So what would you say are your own dreams there, Rockstar?
Well, I think my dreams are pretty the same. I want to be happy. I want to be healthy. I want to be loved. And I am truly loved by Michael and my children and my extended family and friends. And I want to be the best I can be. I try every day. My dreams are pretty well fulfilled. Some people dream big pipe dreams. I take it one day at a time. I'm a realist.
Oh, I think that's absolutely the way to be.
I think you have to be. You know, it's great to have dreams, and it's great to go after them. But, you know, when you're alone at night in the dark, you have to think about what's really, you know, matters and what you can accomplish in just one day at a time.
Absolutely. So could you name one of your greatest strengths for us?
Yes, I think my greatest strength that has really gotten me through things is my sense of humor. You know, on some of those darkest days, not only with Christopher, but, you know, just life in general, it's my sense of humor getting me through.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. The sanity level of my family is very questionable, and
I've already decided that we've gone beyond that, and that's what makes a scene.
I wouldn't change it for the world, to be honest with you. The times of hilarity that we've experienced have just been absolutely unreal, and and that has gotten us so far, and have been by far the craziest, best memories too.
Yeah, for sure.
So if we're talking about strengths, let's go in the other direction. What would you say is maybe one of your greatest weaknesses?
I would say it's the same answer, my sense of humor. I have some people in my life who are very serious and very sensitive, and I have a very sharp tongue that can cut like a knife. So, yeah, I would say my sense of humor. Both sides.
So you've got the extreme poles of the,
yeah,
of the one
I'm
thing.
I'm bipolar with my sense of humor.
All right. Well, seeing as this is Dishpan Hands, I've just decided to go a little bit a la James Lipton from Inside the Actor's Studio with my questions. And seeing as I can't really go with what is your favorite swear word, I've decided to go with what is your favorite candy?
Well, I have two answers to that for you.
Nice.
No matter how bad a day we're having with Christopher, you pull a Smartie out of your pocket and you're going to get a smile on his face. Anything that can make Chris that happy is priceless. But as far as taste goes for me, cotton candy, because it's just sugar all dressed up in a fancy costume.
It's like the princess of candy.
Yeah, that's
really
great. That's right.
Oh, that's great. So what, Diana, what do you want to be remembered for?
I don't think I think in those terms. I don't think in terms of being remembered. The people's lives whom I have touched know me, and that's all that matters. But now that you've brought it up, I'd say I'm pretty colorful and unforgettable. So no worries there. I'm going to be remembered.
No doubt. Well, certainly, certainly the people who have put me in touch with you have absolutely felt that way themselves. So thank you so much for being involved here this evening on Dishpan Hands and for being my first real interview. I absolutely have enjoyed it so much, and I just want you to keep being you.
So, well, same here. And I must say, when I heard you were going on the radio with Dishpan Hands, I almost sent you a message on Facebook and said, when are you going to have a show about autism, Sheila? So you've answered my question on that.
April, Autism Awareness Month. Perfect. It
that's
all just
right.
fell right
and
into
that's
place.
That's the month of my birthday, too. So
perfect.
It's a double celebration.
Well, and an early happy birthday to you, too.
Thanks very much.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.